Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Now, in the donor world, or the world of people who are givers, there is a common phrase that is used sometimes, and that phrase is donor fatigue. Anybody heard about donor fatigue or giver's fatigue? Which refers to the fact that sometimes people who are giving get tired of giving. And sometimes we can experience that. Say, oh, not again. It is miracle offering. It is Sunday. We got to give again. And it can be like that sometimes where you feel like, oh boy, when am I going to stop giving? I think of some people who some of you may know and have some of these people who are very creative at asking. Every time you see a text message from them, every time you receive a call from them, you already know the end in mind. They will go through stories, but at the end of the day, after they've said everything, 5 minutes later, I need transport. I need to get this to do the other. And here's what happens. Once it's regularly done, you start to see their phone calls. What do? Ignore or put their phone on the red list of busy. That's what donor fatigue is like. You are tired of that. And when it comes to God's kingdom and giving towards God's kingdom, sometimes we can experience donor fatigue. We're like, can I really keep doing this? Well, if you rely on your human strength, you will get donor fatigue. And so today I want to share with you the experience we have had through the years as Watoto, because we've never suffered donor fatigue. And I'll tell you why. We have learned the grace of giving. And today I want to talk to you about the grace of giving. Only grace can help us to emulate our God. Can you imagine if God got donor fatigue? If God decided, I'm tired of sending the sun every day, let them dwell in darkness. If God said, I'm tired of giving them oxygen every day because they never even thank me. Aren't you glad we have a God who doesn't suffer donor fatigue? He never suffers. He never says, I'm tired of hearing my children ask. And last week, as Pastor Gary shared last week, you know, God, when it comes to giving and generosity, God is our source. And our source will never run out, neither will it grow tired. And so the grace of giving takes our perspective off of us and brings our perspective onto God. That's what it does. And so when it comes to generosity, it's an act of grace. And we participate in advancing God's kingdom. When your perspective changes, you no longer have donor fatigue. Instead, you have excitement. And you're ready to give because you know everything you have comes from God. That's what happens. And so I want to talk about the grace of giving. And we're going to learn from a portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But when I say grace, what do I really mean? It's God's unmerited favor. We know that. But there's two ways God's unmerited favor manifests in our lives. And we get to experience it in our lives. Number one, God's grace, his unmerited favor, means God will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. That's the grace of God. We couldn't save ourselves, and God saved us. While we were still sinners, God saved us. Christ died for us. For by grace, you have been saved. So So God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let me give you other examples of God's grace where he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. None of us applied for life. Did anybody apply? The very life you have is given to you by God. His act of grace. Never asked for it. Given it to us. Because we don't own life. He does. So one way God extends his grace to us is he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But the other way is that God's grace enables us to do what we cannot do for ourselves and just by ourselves. So one is God does it. Secondly, he enables us to do what we cannot do within our natural abilities. Paul was going through a very difficult situation in his life and he cried to God, please take this thorn away of suffering. And God's response was, my grace is sufficient. God was saying, I will enable you to go through what is humanly impossible. What you cannot do on your own, I will strengthen you to do it. So when it comes to giving, there's things God will do for us. But when it comes to giving like the miracle offering, God's grace has to work in our lives. Because it's one of those that is a test when it comes to our money and our resources. And I also just want to mention this before I read. I read this a few weeks ago. Your source determines your resource. And the simple meaning of that is that the size of your source will determine the capacity of your resources. If you look at human beings as your source, they are limited. If you look at government as your source, governments are borrowing money. But if you know God is your source, he is the creator, he owns everything, that means we have access to unlimited resources. God our source. The only challenge for us is will we be faithful stewards of those resources? And it takes grace to steward faithfully the resources God gives to us. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing to a church that was a prosperous, wealthy church, a church in Corinth, and he was encouraging them to grow in the grace of giving using an illustration of churches that didn't have much, the Macedonian churches, like we said last week, because these were Gentile churches, and they were going through difficulty, but they had understood the grace of giving. And so Paul was using their example to encourage the church in Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to read. Here's what Paul says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Paul knows that that's a special grace upon these beautiful churches. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Next week we get to do that again as we're taught to. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They begged to be a part of this, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us, to what we were doing. They were collecting an offering to help the believers in Jerusalem, the Jews who were going through a famine, and they were also going through persecution, and they didn't have much. So Paul was going to all the churches that he had planted, literally to collect a miracle offering for them. This is beyond their regular tithes and offerings. And so it says they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and by then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, he's telling them, he encouraged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Paul refers to this offering as an act of grace. That's what he calls it. But since, he begins to encourage them, you excel in everything. In faith, the church in Corinth was a faith church. In speech, they knew how to talk. In fact, they had to put rules on how to talk in church. They liked to talk. They were very knowledgeable people. In complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you, they were on fire for God. He says, see also that you excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, Paul says, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might be rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, Paul says to them, you are the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. The church in Corinth was very quick to commit and do something, but they never followed through. So Paul was helping them to do that. And then he says to them, now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God is not asking us to give what we don't have. He's asking us to give from what he has given us. And all he wants us to be is faithful stewards, and it takes grace. That's what Paul is telling them. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. So Paul was saying to them, hey, you have been blessed as a city church. You have much. Participate in helping our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And this is not about giving the same amount. It's about equal sacrifice. Each of us has a level of giving that is sacrificial to us. And that's what Paul is saying. Much has been given to you, much will be required from you. At the present time, Paul says, your plenty, because they were doing well, will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, equal sacrifice. As it's written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. That's the word of the Lord. And in some places, what do you say? Thanks. The grace of giving. There's five things that I want to share with you from this portion that the grace of giving does for us. And that grace of giving will never get us to a place where we experience donor fatigue when it comes to kingdom work. Because Paul calls it an act of grace. It's not just giving. Next week is not just about money. It's about expressing the grace of God when it comes to generosity. And the people who hear and they've heard, the knowledge of the miracle offering here in Watoto has gone around the world where people are wondering and saying, a church in one of the poorest countries in the world can give over $1 million. Last year, over $1.5 million. People go like, there must be a God. We are determined that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, even when it comes to generosity. We are committed to changing the narrative that, hey, we cannot be generous to God's kingdom because we come from a poor country. No, this country is blessed. And the same God in any part of the world is the same God here. The same grace that is on other parts of the world is the same grace here. We can be generous because we have a God who is unlimited in his source and his resource that we can steward well. We've done it for over 10 years. We will continue to do it. We won't get tired. The grace of giving does five things for us. One, God's grace enables us to give sacrificially. When it comes to giving sacrificially, my friends, it's not something we do in our own human strength. Sacrificial giving, which some people call painful offering, doesn't come easy. You know why? We have plans for every bit of money we have. And when God says, hey, would you give big sacrificially? It means you are going to put off some of your plans in order to obey God. And it's not easy. Abraham was blessed with Isaac. And the daddy, the old daddy, is supposed to be a grandpa, but now he has a little baby. He's celebrating about his son, the son of promise. And God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. That's not easy. It takes grace to obey God to that extent. And here's what I know. When you ask God, how can I participate in the miracle offering this year? He's going to put a figure in your heart, which will shock you. And the first time you'll say, did I hear wrongly? You want God to speak through the right ear, through the left ear. And you can even say, get behind me, Satan. Because that can't be God. It takes grace to say, God, you have spoken. I am going to obey. It's the grace of God. Listen to what Paul says, brothers and sisters. We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches in the midst of a very severe trial. They're going through difficulty. Their overflowing joy and extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able. Paul knew their ability, but he also says, and even beyond their ability, they did it on their own. That is a grace on them. That's the grace on us as we're taught. We go beyond. Why? We believe in the kingdom cause. We also know that if God asks us to give, he is our source. He will never run out of resources. Never. So we will never get donor fatigue because we know we are not the source. God is the source. God's grace enables us to give sacrificially. And next week we're going to see it. But secondly, God's grace for the Macedonian churches caused them to give with overflowing joy. It takes grace to give sacrificially and joyfully at the same time. Oh my goodness. We call it a painful offering because you're giving quite a lot to advance God's kingdom, okay? But we also do it joyfully. It takes grace to smile while you're giving. That's why for us that day, baskets are out. We don't give like we usually give. Baskets are out. We come dancing, overflowing in joy as we give. You've seen some of the videos. So those of you who are new, you're going to see. It is electric. Few places in the world give while people are dancing. I remember Gary preaching and he says, whenever there's a church service, people come in, they're excited, they are happy, welcome, the service starts, the worship is going. We dance, go down, go up, turn around, it's all fun. And then we pray until the pastor comes and says, it's now time for us to give. The atmosphere changes. You know why? Pastor Gary. People are about to rob God. That's why it changes. Robbers are never happy. Robbers are tense. They know they can be caught. And so they can't give with joy. They're just ready to rock. But here at Watoto Church, we say it's now time for us to give. We rejoice. And next week when we come to give our miracle offering, we are going to dance and turn around and put it in there, because God loves a cheerful giver. You know how we do it? It's the grace of God. We know how good He's been to us. There's joy. Let me tell you why we have overflowing joy. We know whatever we have comes from God. And if He asks for it, you know what? We joyfully give it back to Him. We know that what we give is going to impact lives. That's why we give with joy. We know that as we do this, there's a God in heaven who will reward us as well. We will never give in vain. We can never outgive God. And so we come dancing with whatever God has asked us to give, and we do it with joy. That is the grace of God. He does it for us. So some of you, you have never smiled like you're going to smile next week. Something beautiful happens when you've said, God asked me to do it and I've done it. There's a joy. But you won't be extremely joyful if God has put something in your heart and you know you're not doing what He has asked you to do. But His grace is available. Not only to help us give sacrificially, but to do it with overflowing joy. That's what verse 2 says. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy, and then the poverty that we're going through, is still welled up in rich generosity. Wow, I think it's going to be amazing. Turn to your neighbor and just smile. That's what next week is going to be about. All right, thirdly, what does God's grace do when it comes to giving? God's grace produces a concern for others. Please understand, when it comes to our annual miracle missions offering, it's not about money, it's about lives. It's about lives, my friends. And God's grace helps us to see beyond the money. It helps us to see what that is going to do to impact lives and change lives. Listen to what Paul talked about the Macedonian churches. He said they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They had such a deep concern that they said, we don't want to miss out. Yes, we have our own issues. We are going through trials. There's poverty where we are, but we still look beyond ourselves. And we still want to participate in helping our brothers and sisters. And verse 5 says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. They went beyond themselves so they could see others. That's why we call it a missions offering. Advancing God's kingdom. Please understand, every one of us who is here today, and you gave your heart to Jesus, that was a result of someone else's generosity. Hello? I gave my life to Jesus in heaven's gates and hell's flames. I hadn't given a coin for that heaven's gates and hell's flames to happen here at Watoto Church, but there are people who gave for heaven's gates to happen, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And we're going to do heaven's gates next year as well, and hell's flames in different cities through our miracle offering. But listen, someone had a concern for you and they gave. If you're watching online and on air, it's not free to bring this service to you. Someone has given so you can watch. You're seated on a chair today in here in a beautiful building. People gave for this to happen. They had a concern for you and me, that we needed a place to meet. That's what drove them to give. It's God's grace that helps you to see beyond the money, and you start to see the real concern for others and say, I'm going to give. Now, please understand. We're going to reach schools and we're going to reach young people. Here's what's happening. Do you know, as we go to schools, we are preparing your daughter's future husband. That's what the miracle offering is doing. Why are we reaching schools? Your children need good spouses. Hello? Our country needs great leaders. We're going to reach to them. Reach out to them. God's grace places a deep concern for others. Oh, when is Watoto Church coming to my village? The day they are coming, then I'll give. Once God speaks, we welcome. But a deep concern for others. That's what God's grace does. So every dollar we give is going to reach someone and draw them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what it's going to be about. It's a concern. And God can do it all by himself, but he has chosen to partner with us. What a privilege. What a trust. All right, that's the third. Now I'll come to the second last. The other thing God's grace does when it comes to giving is God's grace enables us to fulfill our commitments. That's what God's grace does. You know, God knows that when he asks us to do something beyond normal, it's not easy. God knows us very well. He knows the struggles we go through. He knows how we know how to start but not finish. He knows. Let me ask, how many of you have ever committed to do something and along the way you didn't complete it? Right, put down your hands. How many of you who left your hands down, you know today you're a liar, you really need God's grace to fulfill. We all have set out certain commitments that we've not accomplished. Simple evidence that even if we have a lot of willpower, it always comes to a certain end. But thank God, when he asks us to do something, he will enable us to fulfill it. That's the grace of God. And here's what I know. He's done it for Vanita and myself. He's done it for many of us. When you ask God, how can I participate in the miracle offering for us? He's given us figures that in one go, we cannot do it. And in that one go, we still do sacrificially, but still not hit the target that God has laid on our hearts. And so it calls for commitment to fulfill that target. And that's what's going to be true for you. Because some of you, God's going to ask you to do what is beyond your current capacity. And if God does that for you, God knows better than you know. All he is waiting for, are you going to be faithful with the first step? When you are, he will hold your hand. I'll take you through the second step. I'll take you through the third step. Because you're committed to fulfilling what you pledged to God. And he helps you through by his grace. So do not be afraid of whatever God asks you to give. He is your source. Be committed, faithful to what he places in your hands. And that's what Paul was encouraging the church in Corinth. So he says, we urge Titus, one of his colleagues, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part, helping them to complete what they had committed to. And here's my judgment, Paul says, about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. So they had given, and they told Paul, please, we want to do it again. But then they didn't. So Paul was saying, hey, complete your commitment. And he says, now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means, according to whatever God has placed in your hands. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. According to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have. God is our source. And so when he says, I wanted to do this, trust him. Stay committed and finish your commitment. But that is an act of his grace. In our own strength, we cannot. But by his grace, we will finish strong. This $1.5 million, we can go beyond it. Because God is our source. He knows our capacity and he will supply what we need. Let's stay committed. That's what it is about. So, that's what God's grace does for us. And finally, the grace of giving. This is what God's grace does. It will position us for the supernatural. When it comes to generosity and we are faithful, we position ourselves to experience what only God can do for us when it comes to resources. He positions us. Let me tell you, the Bible says it is God who gives us the power to make wealth. It is him. That means if God finds a faithful person, he has enough power to make you produce even more wealth. The Bible says he will bless the works of our hands. Everybody works. Everybody receives the reward of their work. But God says, if you're faithful, I'm going to bless the works of your hands. In other words, I will add a super to the natural results that you are getting. That is God. God, everybody comes to Kampala to do business. How will your business succeed in the competition? God puts favor on your business. And the clientele that you get, you didn't even ask for. People are in the city doing witchcraft, doing all these things, saying, but what does this person have? They try to blackmail you. They try to say bad things against you. But because the favor of God is on you, he protects you. We are talking about a God who extends his grace to us. Even in a boardroom when they're making decisions, you don't need connections, you need God's. That's what he does. His grace begins to make sure that if you trust him and you are faithful to be a steward, he will supply through you. In the book of Malachi, he says, test me in this. See if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you won't have room enough. How many of you want to live like that? Live in an overflow. Let me tell you what the overflow means. It means God is looking to you not to just expand your container, but to put channels in your container so he can keep supplying through you and it overflows to others. That's what he wants to do. And if he can trust you, he will pour out. You know what we've said as Watoro Church? Pour all your resources through us. We are going to see that it advances your kingdom. Let me read the final scripture and Pastor Brian, get ready to come. We're talking about God's grace extended in the supernatural for us to experience it. The chapter 9 and verse 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace. Everybody say grace. Every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you. Wow. Think about that. God is able to do that so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything. Wow. Being completely self-sufficient in him and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. The grace of God can make that possible. So come next week, it is going to be a demonstration of the grace of giving. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.